is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Paul J., Summer of Fun continues for one more day. He will be back tomorrow and in for the rest of the year. Since football is getting ready to start, he had to get it all in. David Allen in for him. Chris Walton here. Todd with 1D. Dave Harbison's in the studio. Joining us in the Sandler Training Studio, Melissa Farrow. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Fine, thanks.
You are the 2016 Idaho Teacher of the Year. And as much as kids probably don't want to hear it, parents probably love to hear it, school is starting very, very soon. And it's time to get things ready. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Heck yes. I've already been in my classroom for like 7 days now. So I need the students.
Okay.
What back to school tips could you give to let's start with parents?
Okay, so my husband and I were having this conversation at our dinner table because we're parents. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that this year you change the conversation up on your kids a little bit. When we were sitting at the table earlier this week, instead of asking my kids how their day went, my husband asked them, "What did you fail at today?"
Really?
And as we went around the table and we started talking about what had happened during their day, those were some way more interesting conversations than just asking them how their day went. And then he followed it up with the question of, what did you learn from that? Mm. And he and I both participated as well. So he talked about a computer program that he was putting together and how it hadn't quite gone the way he expected it to. And it meant he had to come back and try things again. I had to talk about how the way that I was setting up my classroom wasn't working out. I was going to have to reorganize my focus point for the year. And I think we just opened up a whole nother level of conversation about perseverance and what it meant to stick with things. So I would suggest ask your kids this year what they failed at every day. I bet you get a way more interesting conversation.
Or what percentage do you think of parents actually are very active in their kids' schooling?
Well, I think it depends on what you consider being really active in your kids' schooling. One thing we found out as we've surveyed parents in the Caldwell School District is that sometimes the parents' definition of being active in their students' lives is different than our definition, and it also tends to vary a little bit from grade level to grade level. I think there's kind of a misconception at middle school that the students don't want their parents involved in their life anymore, and so we sort of see the parents step back a little bit from their students' lives. And I think what I've found with my own kids and with my students over the last several years is they still need you at that level. So I would say that most parents feel like they're involved in their students' lives. Maybe it's time to take a look at what that definition of being involved in your kids' lives means.
You've been a teacher for 16 years. The world itself is very different in the past 16 years. How has teaching changed for you?
Well, you know, and I actually, not only have I been a teacher for the last 16 years, I come from a family of teachers. So I've actually been in a classroom since I was old enough to walk. So I think I've seen a lot of changes in the way we approach education. I'd say the biggest difference, and I see this myself teaching science, is engaging the students. My students are coming to me with a lot more baggage that comes through the classroom door with them, and I'm having to teach in different ways in order to pull them in and in order to make my learning relevant to them. So I think that I like to say science is a verb. I like to make science engaging and active and hands-on. I think that making it fit today's society is really important. I need you guys to tell my principal that, though, because I'm trying really hard to convince him that my 1950 science lab is not where I need to be teaching 2016 science. So.
Well, and that brings up another question. You mentioned as a parent what you're doing to get ready for the school year. How about as a teacher? What should teachers be doing?
Well, my advice to teachers, there's a really great blog called Cult of Pedagogy. And it's written by a middle school teacher who has some fantastic tips for teachers. But my favorite one is called Find a Marigold. I don't know if any of you guys are avid gardeners or not, but evidently in the gardening world, I kill things that are green, so I am definitely not a gardener. But in the gardening world, if you want your crops, your plants, your flowers to grow really well, it's really advisable to plant what's called a companion flower next to them, or a companion plant. Marigolds put off chemicals into the soil that make the flowers around them do really well. And so if you want your garden to do really well, plant marigolds in your garden along with whatever else you're growing. So I would recommend that teachers, whether you've been in the profession for 35 years and are looking at retirement, or whether you're just entering the profession and you've got that scared, frightened look on your face like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? I would say find that person in your building who's a marigold. In today's day and age, you can no longer go in your own classroom and shut your door and teach. I think that may be another big change between the way teaching was 30 years ago and the way it is today. You've got to collaborate.
Do most teachers have mentors?
Officially or unofficially?
Because one,
I would say that officially it's not something that we've done a very good job at as a state in promoting mentors for our new teachers. I think unofficially, there's something about the teaching profession where we tend to reach out and try and support each other.
Yeah.
I've heard it said teaching is the only profession that eats its young, because we unfortunately don't give enough support to our new teachers. We expect that brand new teacher to come in on the first day of their career and do exactly the same thing that the 30-year veteran is doing next door, and with the exact same resources that we give the 30-year veteran. So I think that we need to do a better job of mentoring our new teachers to the profession and helping them find those collaborative partnerships, either in their grade level, in their building, even out into the community to help support them.
The 2016 Idaho Teacher of the Year, Melissa Farrow, is with us. I have an interesting question for you as a science teacher when we come back. But first, at 8:44, we have to take one last look at traffic this morning, brought to you by Leisure Mattress. Cut out the middleman, buy direct from the factory, and save hundreds at Leisure Mattress on Federal Way in Boise. Here's Logan Kramer.
Traffic is backing up at State and Bogart due to some chip sealing, and take note of additional lane closures at the intersection of Broadway Avenue and Front Street beginning today through mid-August. Serving more than 20,000 students a year, College of Western Idaho partners with local businesses and universities to provide two-year transfer and career-ready degrees and certificates. Learn more at cwidifference.com. From the Tom Scott Toyota Studios, there's right now traffic on 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul, Jay, and Chris on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show, 850. Melissa Farrow joining David Allen and Chris Walton in the Sandler Training Studio. I said before the break I was going to have a question for you. So I'm a guy who hates science, did terribly in chemistry, actually flunked a semester of physics in high school. How do you get kids like me, whose brains aren't working that way, to love science? Because I wish I knew more now. Now that I'm 54, I wish I had applied myself or tried to rewire my brain back in high school to love science more. Because someone will say, hey, how do you get this? And I'll say, I don't have a clue because I'm not good at that or math. How do you get kids motivated to be that when they don't want to do that?
So I think that brings up a really interesting idea, because if you look at, I actually sat on an advisory panel for former Superintendent Luna several years ago, and he was asking us what we wanted to do with elementary education. And I told him that I thought we ought to stop teaching math and English in the elementary schools, that we should only teach science and social studies. And if we would only teach science and social studies, the kids would be clamoring for the math and the English to figure things out and to understand things and to talk to other people about what they knew. Because, I mean, you look at little kids. How many little kids do you know that have memorized the name of 743 dinosaurs in Latin, and they can translate it for you and tell you all their behaviors? Little kids love science. And so somewhere along the way, we stop letting science be engaging. We turn science into a textbook, and we make it something that kids hate. And we don't give them the reason to know the math in order to do the science. And so subjects like chemistry and physics become major barriers for our students, especially our female and Hispanic students. And that culture and that conversation has to change. I'm actually excited right now. We're in the process of revamping our science standards in the state of Idaho and making them much more active and engaging. And I think a lot of what I'm able to do in my classroom that pulls those students in, especially the students who might normally be disenfranchised or disengaged from science, is that I make it relevant to their lives and I make it hands-on and I remind them that science is fun and that science is interesting and that it's connected to the real world. I always laugh because earthquakes and volcanoes kind of show up in my curriculum around January. And every year in January, my kids accuse me of starting volcanoes and earthquakes because all of a sudden they notice them in the news. Miss, there's volcanoes happening. Did you see that earthquake that happened last week in Russia? And they're wanting to tell me all these things because they all of a sudden realize that, oh my gosh, science is happening all around me. I do a lot of taking my kids out into the community, and we do projects in the community. And I also try really hard to bring a lot of our community into my classroom.
We mentioned you're the 2016 Teacher of the Year for the state of Idaho. Does that have privileges that come with it or extra work? What do you do?
Well, I didn't realize that when I was filling out the application for the award last year that I was actually filling out a second job application. The state of Idaho doesn't have a whole lot of requirements for their Teacher of the Year. In fact, we kind of joke that Idaho's a high-five state. They gave me the award and the plaque back in November, and they gave me a high-five, and then I went back into my classroom to do great things. But it's been sort of left up to me to turn this position into an advocacy position, to turn this position into a platform to speak for my profession, to speak for my professional association, the Idaho Education Association, to speak for my students who don't have a voice in Boise and they don't have a voice in the legislature. So I've done a lot of speaking engagements, a lot of getting myself on state level committees, having policy conversations with legislators. But that's me attempting to leverage my position to take advantage of this opportunity.
Do you see big changes in education maybe in the next 5 to 10 years?
I would like to see big changes. I think what that's going to take, though, is giving teachers a seat at the table. Right now, when I speak to teachers across the country, even, I ask them, what would make you feel more respected? What would make you feel more engaged with your profession? And almost unanimously, it's give me a seat at the table. Ask me to have input on what's going on. Don't make policy without me. I went to a policy summit in Washington, D.C. this summer, and there were teachers of the year there. And then there were tons of policymakers from all across the country. Every organization you could think of had their policy people there. And we were on a breakout session, and one of the other teachers of the year came up to me and she said, "Oh, my gosh, you'll never guess what I just heard in the bathroom." There were two ladies talking in there, and they said, "Why are all these teachers here at this policy meeting? Don't they have their own meetings?" And so I think that really sets up this bigger picture that's going on in our country where policy happens separate from teachers, and that can't continue. If we're going to make positive change in education, people have to start recognizing organizations that represent teachers like the IEA. They have to start organizing Teachers of the Year as an advocacy group, as a policy voice. That's got to start happening.
For all the changes that happen, how big a part will Boise State, the university, play in that?
Well, I know that Boise State is trying really hard right now to have a voice at the state level. And as we work through our teacher prep programs, that's definitely playing a key role. Some of the people that are at Boise State are having some great conversations at the state level with our state department, with our state board, with our legislators about what it really takes to train teachers coming into the profession. Again, like you guys said, teaching today is not the same as teaching in the past. So we've got to train a new kind of teacher to come out into the classroom.
What is the state of Idaho doing, or are they doing enough to retain teachers?
I think that right now the answer to that is no.
Okay.
If you look at right now, we have a huge teacher shortage in our state, especially in areas like science, mathematics, and special education. The teacher next door to me resigned a month and a half ago so that she could take a teaching job in Boise closer to her home. And as of right now, school starts for teachers on Thursday this week. We haven't even interviewed the position because we have no applications.
Wow.
We have two high school science positions that we haven't interviewed yet because we have no applications. You see districts in eastern Idaho declaring states of emergency because they can't. I mean, they're right on top of back to school and they can't hire all of their jobs. So what we've got to do is not a short-term fix. Right now, our state is looking at short-term fixes, like throwing people in the classroom from Teach for America or alternatively certifying people in order to fill our classrooms quickly. They've got to look a little more long-term, and we've got to start talking about the culture around teaching in our state and how do we bring respect back to this profession? How do we support the profession, not how do we replace them with short-term subs?
Melissa, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Good luck this school year, and congratulations again on being the Idaho Teacher of the Year for 2016.
Thank you so much.
Very good. All right, 8:56. We've got national news, then local news coming up with Rick. Chris and I will be back to talk about politics because, you know, it's a day that ends in Y. We can't do anything but that. 8:56 now at 670 KBOI.
If you're talking about it,
are you for the criminals or are you for the law-abiding Americans? That's a simple question.
We're talking about it.
If they'll just do what they were voted in to do.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen in for Paul J. One day. Chris here with me, Todd with 1D.
Hello.
Pushing all the buttons even though he has a cold. Getting his germs everywhere. So, Travis, you've been warned you're getting a cold this afternoon. I don't usually do this to where I just open up the phone lines to a specific group of people, but I would love to hear from women this morning.
Okay.
And it has some, and not just, you know, in general. I mean, specifically, I'd like to hear from women who either A, back Trump, or B, obviously, back Hillary. Because a new ABC News poll came out. This shows Hillary has like a 23-point lead among women. And some of the questions are interesting where they say things like favorability. Mm-hmm. Clinton has a 48% and Trump has a 34%. I'd like to know what it is about her and her personality and her life that makes her more favorable.
You mean that gets her up to 48 or keeps her under 50?
That gets her up to 48.
Okay.
Because of all the things that, and I know it'll seem like I'm picking on her, you know, mostly because I am, but, you know, she lies all the time, and Donald Trump does too, so I'm not, yeah. I'm not weighing one over the other. But I just want to know why women would have such a big love affair for her attributes over Trump's when they're both basically the same person. One's been in politics longer, but they both are mean-spirited. They both lie. They both will tell you whatever you want to hear. They both play the game perfectly.
In other words,
that's why they're the last two standing.
In other words, they're both alphas.
Yes, exactly. And they're both politicians. So, you know, it's rare that you find that politician where you go, gosh,
well,
seems really like a really nice person.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of possibilities. I mean, I'm sure there are some women who simply agree with her. You know, and they think the platform of the Democratic Party is what they want, and so they will vote for Hillary Clinton because she just happens to be the nominee. There are others maybe who just like her in some way. It's possible. And, you know, because there are people who like Donald Trump. There are people
sure.
who like Hillary Clinton. Everybody has a different opinion. There are people who like Gary Johnson and Jill Stein, too.
There are people who like Ted Cruz.
But I wonder if there are, you know, if there are any women out there who are planning to vote for Hillary just so they can finally see a female president of the United States.
That's possible. Looking at one of these poll numbers, attributes, understanding international affairs. Clinton has 72%. Donald has 33%. Well, that makes perfect sense to me.
Because she's been the Secretary
yes,
of State.
I get that one.
Okay.
Has the right personality and temperament. She leads 61% to 31%. What is it about her temperament or personality that would give her a 30-point lead over him?
Well, I'm guessing a direct comparison would do it.
But all you have to do because is see interviews with her. When she sat in front of Congress, she's like, what does it matter now that they died?
Well, okay, she gets a little loud from time to time, but he gets a little childish from time
yes.
to time, and she doesn't do that.
And believe me, I'm not putting one over the other. Like I say, they both have. But then when it gets to is honest and trustworthy, 38% to 34%.
Yeah, and see, that's not good for either one.
That's terrible for both. And I just don't understand. Let's go to Pat in Washington County. Pat, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And I am a female.
Yes.
And I definitely, I wouldn't trust Hillary with a nickel to the store. It's an old saying. And I'm speaking from experience because I've been around the block a couple of times. I'm an old lady. But women as a species gossip. If they hear a story, they'll add to it to make it better.
Hmm.
And men are more forthright. You know, if they don't like you, they call you what they think you are.
Hmm.
Women do not. Women are devious. And anybody that says, well, I had a short circuit. Well, you know, they do a physical on people that are running for president.
Right.
Besides the physical, she needs a mental. Because if you, she's a psychological liar. She couldn't tell you the truth if she told you what time it was.
let me ask you.
You know,
okay.
I really resent the Democratic Party on their convention. They dress up these 11 ladies who have lost their sons. But here's a plain woman still asking Hillary for the answer she promised her at the Republican Party. Not dressed up, not squared away, just where in the devil is the information? And if women thought more like men, they'd be better off. I'd never want a woman for president.
Okay, that was going to be my next question for you is,
what?
You know, are you anxious at some point to see a woman president? But I think you just answered that question.
I knew a couple of women that were accomplished women. One was a hard ass diver,
mm-hmm.
plus a nurse, and very much married to a man. And I have a neighbor that I would vote for her any day of the week. She works like a man, talks like a lady, and sings like a bird.
Okay.
All right, and, Pat. Thanks for checking in today. We appreciate
it. Have a great day.
Yeah,
thank you.
You too, Pat. Not really what I expected to hear.
I was actually surprised by that a little bit. All right, females, 336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. From your gender-specific attitude, will you be excited? Even if you're not a Hillary backer, will you be excited if she wins the presidency? As a female, to say, hey, I live in a country where
you can also,
a female's a president.
You can also, of course, send us an instant message. Do that by going to our official KBOY website, KBOY.com, and sending it through there. And Bob has sent this in. Bob's not a female.
No, I don't think so.
But Bob says to all the women out there, voting for Hillary because she is female would be like eating dog dew because it looks like a candy bar.
Oh.
Now, also, that's another one I hadn't heard before.
I just ate a sandwich, and here it comes back up. 9:13, we'll talk to more of you next on 670 KBOI. Welcome back to the show. David Allen here for Paul J. KBOI rewards code GENDER, G-E-N-D-E-R, GENDER. Go to KBOI.com, enter that keyword, GENDER, get your 5,000 rewards points. Talking this morning about an ABC News poll that has Clinton 23 points ahead of Trump with women.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that that surprises me.
I'm not surprised she's leading. I'm surprised it's by so much. Mm. I think that's the thing that surprised me the most. Not that she was winning, but that she was winning by so much.
Lily of Payette says, I am a woman. There is no way I would vote for Hillary. She is a liar, cheat, and crook. I would vote for a woman, but I don't need a president that shrieks and lectures because she's upset. We already have enough hate spewing out of Washington, D.C. We do not need more. With her as president, that is what we would get. You know, again, we pointed out that Donald Trump has a lot of those same qualities, but I guess people look at him slightly differently.
Overall in the poll, this ABC poll, Clinton had an 8-point lead. That's with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously a huge 58-35 with women. Men, 51-41, Trump leads with men. Whites, Trump leads. Non-whites net, Clinton leads. Blacks, obviously Clinton leads. Hispanics, Clinton leads. This is ridiculous. Democrats, obviously, Clinton leads. Republicans, mm-hmm. Trump leads. Independents is very interesting. Post-convention, independents, Trump leads 46-42. It could be those Bernie Sanders / independent / Gary Johnson voters / people who are just frustrated with...
And stick Jill Stein in there, too.
And Jill Stein, yes. People who are just frustrated with the status quo. And they wouldn't care if Trump was running or you were running.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to vote for somebody who's not a politician because they want to see if anything different will happen. Obviously, younger voters are for Trump. I mean, sorry, younger voters are for Clinton. Your 30 to 39s are Trump. 40 to 49s are tied. 50 to 64 is Clinton. And 65 plus is also Clinton.
Now, I heard over the weekend what I consider to be not a very good conspiracy theory.
Okay.
And the conspiracy was that somehow the Clintons, who apparently are all powerful, somehow they arranged for a third party candidate in 1992 to be prominent. And somehow they're doing the same thing just so they can take votes away from Republicans and win. And, you know, I thought, gosh, that's interesting, you know, because I remember Perot.
Mm-hmm.
But I really don't think necessarily that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton engineered that.
I don't think so either. And you always take that chance on that third party of it not working out how you thought it would work out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that if they had lined up 92 or if they had lined up somebody this year, if they, oh, let's get Gary Johnson to take votes away from Trump. But if it takes votes away from Hillary, then you've shot yourself in the foot because the independent is somebody that is out of the status quo. Because Gary Johnson's not a well-known name. He was governor when I was in New Mexico. He's a little bit of a wild card in the fact that he's not a politician. He was a businessman. And when he ran for governor in a Democrat state as a Republican, he basically said, we're going to run this like a business. If we don't have the money for something, we're not buying it. We're not going to go farther in debt. And people voted for him twice because mm-hmm. they liked that attitude. And so that whole attitude of that sounds very Bernie Sanders-esque.
Yeah. And of course, there are a number of people who will be voting for Johnson and also probably Jill Stein. And they've said this simply because they're not Hillary Clinton and they're not Donald Trump.
Exactly. Rich in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Well, one, Perot took more votes from Clinton than he did Bush. But two, the reason the Republican Party did an autopsy after 2012 on what went wrong in the election. Why they wanted to know why they had lost the popular vote in five of the past six elections. And one of the things they came out with is people think they're jerks. I mean, that wasn't the exact terminology. Women don't like jerks. I mean, if there's some guy at a party that's being a real ass to everybody or being an ass or picking on somebody, insulting somebody, the men might laugh and chuckle and everything, but the women don't like it. And that's the simplest answer. And I wonder if Pat could get together with Trump and campaign for him, because she represents about 10% of women out there. But women don't like jerks, and that's just the simple answer.
All right, Rich, thanks for calling in. Here's the thing. I'm not a woman. I don't like jerks either. And that's why I'm having trouble with this election, because I don't like either one of them, because they both seem like jerks to me. And it's a struggle for me right now. And we're a lot closer than we've ever been in an election where I seriously, if today was election day, I don't know what I would do. I really don't.
Boise Rabble Rouser has written in to say, yes, fully 40% of the country's voters think Hillary is lying, a lying she-devil, and in fact, she has not been factual, but is it intentional? And yes, fully 50% plus of the country's voters still think Hillary is a better choice than Mr. Trump. Kind of depends on whose poll you're looking at.
Yeah.
If you look at Fox News, they generally have Trump ahead and getting even further ahead, and then CNN will usually have him down by about 10.
Yes. And now I've seen them as close. I've seen Trump as close as three. She's still leading, but I've seen him as close as three, and I don't remember who the poll was, so I apologize, which is your plus or minus, basically.
This is kind of a weird thing, but it doesn't relate much, but somebody brought it up over the weekend when saying that Hillary has more experience in government, therefore she'd make a better president. Somebody asked, do you think that Mrs. Duggar is the best mother in America? Because she's got more experience than everybody else.
Yeah.
She's had 19 children.
Yeah.
And the answer was no.
No. Yeah. Just because you've done something a lot doesn't mean you're good. 926. We will take more of your calls after news with Rick Worthington. That's next on 670 KBOI.
KBOI News Time is 930. Good morning. I'm Rick Worthington. Well, we'll start with some delays. Delta Airlines grounded several flights because of a computer outage. People flying in and out of Boise said, for the most part, their flights arrived and departed on time, although there were a couple of Delta flights that were delayed this morning. Everybody said, for the most part, they got where they were going, and all flights right now are scheduled on time, both departing and arriving from Delta Airlines in Boise. Donald Trump is aiming to get his campaign back on track this week, and he's starting with a key domestic issue.
Donald Trump trying to refocus his campaign this week after a rocky week last week. The Republican presidential nominee zeroing in on the economy in a speech in Detroit. Later this week, Hillary Clinton will also outline her economic agenda at a speech in Detroit. A Detroit News WDIV poll last week pointed to a 9-point advantage for Clinton in the battleground state of Michigan. Clinton also holds a lead in CNN's latest poll of polls released this morning, 10 points over Trump head-to-head in an average of six major surveys. Karen Kafa, Washington.
On to news here at home. Fire crews in Loman working to keep a subdivision near Highway 17 out of danger. KBOI 2 TV's Brent Hunsaker explains Boise County called at one point for a level 3 evacuation order.
For the safety of the people in Lowell, Boise County called for a level 3 fire evacuation order. Mike McMillan is a spokesman on the Pioneer Fire.
Which is the strongest advisory for them to leave and protect themselves and leave their houses behind to the firefighters to do the work that they're trained to do.
Even so, the order is still voluntary. Only the governor can make it mandatory. Brent Hunsaker, KBOI 2 News, for 670 KBOI.
Meanwhile, a Coeur d'Alene man accused of shooting a pastor is headed to court. 670 KBOI's Albina Cuzina reports.
Kyle Odom could face up to 30 years in prison for shooting a pastor, Tim Remington, in a Coeur d'Alene church parking lot. The Coeur d'Alene Press reports that mediation sessions went on, but the two sides couldn't agree on a plea deal. Prosecutors say Odom shot the pastor, then flew to Washington, D.C. the next day. He was then arrested by Secret Service after throwing flash drives and other items over the White House fence. Albina Cuzina, 670 KBOI.
The Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline still needs more volunteers. 670 KBOI's Ron O'Brien with that story this morning.
The hotline's been up and running for a few years now, and as word has gotten out, the amount of calls has increased. Now the hotline is looking for more volunteers. Idaho Statesman reports volunteers are needed for all shifts, especially evenings and weekends. You'll receive training and supervision, and the next training class starts September 24th and runs into mid-October. After required training, volunteers commit to one shift per week for 1 year. Idaho has the seventh highest suicide rate in the country, a rate that's 47% higher than the national average. To learn more or to apply online, go to idahosuicideprevention.org. Ron O'Brien, 670 KBOI.
Crime Stoppers in Boise, they've got a new case listed, and they're hoping to get a little help from the community. Ed Fritz is with Crime Stoppers. He says they're looking for somebody who intentionally set a fire at Horizon Elementary School.
On Sunday, July 31st, at approximately noon, officers responded to the school near the intersection of Mitchell and Emerald, reference a grass fire. Upon arrival, it was found the fire had originated on the east side of the building and is significantly damaged to the side of the structure.
Now, he tells us an older man was seen at the site, but a description of that person wasn't available. If you have any information, and police are hoping you have that information, they want to hear from you, call them at 343-COPS, and you can give them that information there. You can also do it anonymously. A Smith family in Melba, or the Smith family, I should say, they've gone to solar power on their farm.
You produced 2.79 kilowatts. A couple days later, you doubled it in your kilowatts because it's sunnier, now it's cloudy.
I come out and make sure my meter's going backwards. It's just a little quirk I got.
How do you do that? Well, it's called a net meter, and it actually shows the Smith family when they're producing more solar power than what they're using. Solar companies say they're seeing more and more farms in Idaho going solar after people get educated on the benefits and the savings that are offered. The Smith family, by the way, confirmed their bill about half now what they used to pay for power. Let's take a look at some real-time numbers for you this morning. The Dow Jones Industrials down 17 points currently. The NASDAQ is down 10. S&P's down 1. I'm Rick Worthington, 670 KBOI.
Live from the Sandler Training Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen in for Paul J. He will be back tomorrow and for the rest of time. That's what I'm going to go with anyway. We're talking this morning, Chris and I, about a poll in ABCNews.com that has Hillary with a 23-point lead with women over Donald. Just an 8-point lead when you take everyone into consideration. Kathy in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI with David and Chris. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you. I know your question is about Hillary, but I wonder if some of the reason her polls are so great is because of Trump. I've been a lifelong Republican. I could not vote for that man.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I can vote for Hillary either. I will probably write somebody in. But he, you know, I just can't understand how anybody could vote for him.
Is it just his general disposition? I'm trying to find a way
everything
to word
about
that nice.
Him. Yeah. He says one thing, and a few minutes later, he says something else. And then a little later in the day, somebody's corrected him, and he says something else. And name-calling, I mean, this is a person we would want to lead our country and be an example for our children? I don't think so.
All right, Kathy, I appreciate the insight. Thanks so much for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
There's somebody who just...
It's been a strange campaign.
It has been.
Because even 4 years ago, definitely 8 years ago, 12 years ago, and on, you know, back, one gaffe.
Oh.
And you were out. You were done.
Remember Dukakis in the tank?
Yeah, remember Dukakis in the tank.
Yeah.
Howard Dean... making a funny noise at a rally that was like a pep rally for him.
Yes.
And he made a strange noise, and then all of a sudden people thought he wasn't fit to be president anymore.
He's done.
And that was it.
Yep.
Gary Hart had a picture taken of a girl sitting on his lap.
On a fishing boat.
On a fishing boat that was called Monkey Business.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't say he was having an affair with this girl.
No.
She was just sitting on his lap.
Yep.
You know, for a photo opportunity, and he was done.
He was done.
But you go back through, and there are so many things that just, what was it, McCluskey in 72, he wept
yes.
openly at a press conference,
yep.
and he was done.
He was done. Tom in Meridian, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Yeah, good. Hey, what I was kind of comment about is why aren't the media, like, talking about the actual things that count? All we're talking about is this guy's a jerk and she's a jerk. Well, they're both jerks. But it doesn't really matter. I don't know why it matters. But what matters really is are the policies.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what we wanted to ask. We wanted to ask if women are voting for Hillary Clinton, is it because of her policies or is it because she's female? And vice versa, if they're not voting for her, does it have anything to do with, you know, are they just going to vote straight Republican regardless of whether it's Trump or not?
Yeah, well, the thing is about even the lying, you know, they talked about lying both sides. But the thing I like about Republicans being in power is that the media doesn't let them get away with lying. Whereas Democrats, I mean, they can lie at pretty much with impunity, and it's covered up, and no one talks about it. But you get a Republican lie, and they really drive it home.
Do you think most of the media are more sympathetic to Democrats?
Sure. You look at the Iran-Contra thing. The Iran where hostages were supposedly paid ransom for back in the Reagan era. That never went away. Even George Bush the senior had to deal with it when he ran for president.
Right.
This one's going to go away in a couple days. It's the same thing. Actually, it's more blatant than the Iran-Contra. You really had to dig to find it. Well, this one is pretty blatant. But it's going to go away because they're not going to hold their feet to the fire. That's what I like about Republicans. It's not so much even being a Republican. It's the fact that the media does hold them accountable. And if Trump or somebody lies, they're all over it. Hillary can lie, and they don't really say much about it. That's what I like about Republicans. Then the other part is the policy. If you look back at the history, let's do what works and don't do what doesn't work. You know, if you look at what works in the 20s, the 60s, the 80s, it's less government and lower taxes. And what doesn't work in the 30s and the 70s and the 2010s, it's higher taxes and more regulation. Doesn't work. So, I mean, it's just kind of obvious, I think, to me that you got to go for the policy.
All right, Tom, thanks for checking in. We appreciate it. He's got a good point, you know, all of the sound bites of Trump. Now, he does have a big speech today, or it might have already happened, regarding the economy today. So he's trying to get back on point, if he has one, and focus on that. But they do talk a lot. Lately, it's been about over the weekend, they talked about Hillary's health because that picture came out of her slipping on the stairs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about Trump calling this person a bad name or saying rude things about this person or whatever tweet it might be about, you know, the family. And
I haven't checked, but I just can't think of another. This may be the highest combined age of the Democratic and Republican candidates
for
president of any election we've ever had. Because now together they're, what, 137, 138?
About that, yeah, 137, 138. And health is going to play a big role, I think.
Dave of Boise says, okay, my poll has Donald Trump in the lead by 64% to Hillary's 13% and the rest undecided. And my poll is just as credible as any other poll. Hillary should never be our president, period. I don't know if it's ever a good idea for a woman to be president. They react on emotions in a different way a man will, and that could be big trouble in some scenarios. We have all seen what happens when two women show up at the same place with the same shoes on or the same dress. It can get a little catty, to say the least. Wow, that kind of sounds like it was written long before the women's movement ever began. I don't know that necessarily.
I'm just going to sit here and not say anything.
Well, there are people who say that. You know,
yes.
they talk about, well, you know, a man will look at this and a woman will look at emotions. Trump reacts on emotions all the time.
And Hillary, no emotions.
You just made me mad, and so I'm going to tweet and tell everybody what a jerk you are. I mean, he does that every single day. And, she doesn't.
She might be an Autobot.
She gets a little angry from time to time, but I think most of her other emotions are just, you know, whatever way the wind is blowing.
Before we go to break, Scotty in Middleton, you're on 670 KBOI. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Just reading the European newspapers here, and it says Trump to propose making all childcare expenses tax deductible, and he plans to slash tax rates and kills off the death tax. Now, talking about lies, on Friday, the President of the United States told lies to the American people when he said that Israel goes along with this plan that he had. That was a complete fabrication. He said it was a game changer. Mr. Netanyahu denied that. Mm. He says that it reminds him of the 1938 agreement that Britain and France made with Nazi Germany. So both sides are telling us corkers.
Exactly.
Anyway, gentlemen, I'll get off the line and let somebody else talk.
All right, Scotty.
You have a good day and be careful.
You too, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon Wireless. We have Bob and Steve on the line. It's 945. We'll talk to them next on 670 KBOI.
Port Tales coming up on 670 KBOI. Back now to David and Chris.
Thank you, Rick. 9:50 now at 670 KBOI. David and Chris here with you. Paul J will be back tomorrow. Let's go to Diana in Nampa. Diana, how are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. I'm pretty good. Anyway, I just got mowing the lawn and listening to you, and I thought I'd better call her and say that, number one, I've heard so much lately about all white women are going to vote for Hillary that it's an insult, and I want everybody to know that. I wouldn't vote for Hillary Clinton if she gave me $10 million.
Whoa.
I mean, the woman is as corrupt and as crooked, and you say that she's not that bad in talking. You should see the way that it's all over the Internet, the way she talks to and it's documented when and where it was said, the way she talks to her Secret Service, the way she talks to the employees, the way that nobody in the White House, you know, is supposed to approach her or talk to her. The woman is insane. I really think she is. I don't think she's playing with both oars in the water. And she hasn't been. Her and the Clintons are nothing but a bunch of, and I hope this word's not too bad, money whores. That's all they've done since they've been in office, and that's unfortunately what I believe is happening to our whole administration. Having been in security most of my life and in management, you never, never let two people work in the same area too long together. They get to be too buddy-buddy, and then all of a sudden, money is disappearing, things get stolen. It's just anybody that leaves, none of them should be in office that long. They shouldn't even know more than two terms at the max, and I don't even think they should have two.
Let me ask you this, Diane. If you'll never vote for Hillary, even with $10 million, do you know who you're going to vote for on November 8th?
I'm going to vote for Trump.
Okay.
And, yeah, I don't like the way he talks sometimes. I don't like a lot of stuff about him. But anybody that's out there that says that they're a Republican, but they're not going to vote for Trump, and they'll write somebody in, you're voting for Hillary. That's all you're doing, and whether you like it or not, suck it up. I'm 68 years old, and I've only voted once in my whole life for somebody that I wanted, and that was Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Everybody else is a lesser of two evils.
What happens, though, Diana, when both people are equally evil and there's not a lesser?
She doesn't find them equally evil.
I don't think Trump has ever murdered anybody. I don't think that he got that 3 o'clock in the morning call like she did on Benghazi and let our military men die. I don't think that most people are aware of how corrupt she is, that she's, excuse me, that the majority of the uranium in this country is going to Russia. I mean, they have undermined this country ever since they've been there just for the dollar. And they want the open borders. I mean, my God, look at her. She even dresses like a Muslim. They talk about her pantsuits and stuff. I mean, her whole leader, she has sold herself out. She wants, if Hillary Clinton's in office, we will have open borders everywhere. We will have people coming in from other countries that we can no longer afford to keep supporting them. We can't do that in this country. And they're uneducated. We're not getting the educated. We're getting the uneducated. We're getting the ones that come over here to suck off the system and to rob people and rape people and murder people and sell drugs. And the biggest thing we got going now is the drug epidemics everywhere. And who's fault is that? Who opened up the borders? Who's letting all this stuff in if not Obama?
All right, Diana, thank you for calling in today. We appreciate the passion and everything you showed on the show today.
All right.
I don't think she's going to vote for Hillary.
I think originally it was Santa Ana.
Yeah.
Helen of McCall says, I'm a woman and I will vote for Trump. I think he can do the job and help the economy. I won't vote for Hillary because she is a bad example of womanhood. I prefer to be a woman who has more feminine dignity than Hillary.
90 seconds. Bob in Nampa, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Very good. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing well.
I'll tell you that last lady is going to be a tough act to follow here. But, you know, sadly in this country, we have created a climate where the people that should be running for president won't because of the way that they're beat up by the media. And honestly, if you vote for anybody but Trump, whether it's Clinton or a third party, you voted for Clinton. You know, Trump may not be the best choice in the whole world, but he's definitely the best choice we're going to get. And that's just simple reality.
Yeah.
And I hope people realize that.
All right, Bob. Thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it. Thanks.
You know, and he's got a point there about a lot of people will not run for office, or especially president of the United States, because the media will dig into every part of your life.
Yep.
And that's kind of the media's job, though, is you want to vet a president as much as you possibly can. However, when you come to two candidates who both have a whole bunch of skeletons in the closet, after a while, it just kind of it gets silly.
Yeah. And you'll have those people who will say they sure do dig around Trump's stuff a lot, but they're not digging around Hillary an awful lot.
The idea of the press, you know, digging around is to find somebody who can be the president who is above reproach. However, the very the game of politics kind of makes that impossible.
Oh, sure. It's a dirty, dirty business that is very frustrating. And I wouldn't want to be, you know, when I was younger, I used to think it'd be cool to be president of the United States. I wouldn't take that job for any amount of money, ever.
Not even $400,000 a year?
Definitely not $400,000 a year.
That's what they get.
$10 million a year, maybe. Maybe. You're Secretary of Defense.
Okay.
Todd, you're Secretary of Communication, because you never say anything, and I like that. Up next, something to think about with Mike Rogers, brought to you by the Boise Church of Christ, located at 2000 North El Dorado. Find more about the group at boisechurch.org, the Boise Church of Christ, where church is family. Have a great Monday. Paul J. is back tomorrow on 670 KBOI.